But there was one point where I guess Zaki has these pajama shorts that may kind of look like boxer shorts. And he got up to either go to the bathroom or just like to step forward to talk to Tani about something. And the flight attendant caught him and was like, "Where are your pants?"
And really?
And he was like, "One second." And like went back and put on his pants. And
Tyler, look at you. So you've got a friend.
He was wearing his boxer briefs?
No, he was wearing their pajama shorts that have superheroes on them.
And they look like boxer briefs.
I mean, like they could look like boxer briefs, but he had on like his briefs and then those on top of them.
Oh.
But they looked enough that she scolded him.
Just like you. You don't like to wear pants up there.
But he was wearing pants.
Like in a sense, he was, yeah. He was wearing a second layer.
Well, when you go back to work next week, you'll have to see if you get a little comment about not wearing pants.
I'll stand by passengers. See me at the podium. Your seat is empty.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Monique, Laura, and Tyler are three friends that work for a major airline as gate agent, flight attendant, and ramp worker. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel or things to do. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Non-Rev Lounge. I'm Laura.
I'm Monique.
And I'm Tyler. Happy 2024.
We made it.
How can it be?
Because we're recording before.
We're in the future.
Is this the senior moment? What's going on?
It's not going to be already.
2023 was a good year for me.
It was a good year for me.
You?
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking back like, I was going to say this for the end. But like financially, like I must have worked a lot because I made more money than I've ever made.
Wow, good for you.
That means I must have worked like a ton.
That's not sarcastic either. Like, good for you.
Because I didn't get a pay raise. So it was, yeah. And then we mentioned a couple weeks ago, I took more flights than I have in years. I ended up with 114 flights last year.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Which is, yeah, crazy. Because that's how many I was taking on a single. You want to know the rest of my stats?
He's going to be single again quick if you keep that up.
Well, if I'm still making money, then she won't leave me yet. Going into the year, I wanted to know if I could justify the spend on the club access stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted to, so I started like keeping track every time I went to a club.
I think that's so cool. I love when you like compare numbers and stuff like this. So I'm excited to hear this.
So last year I went into, so with my 114 flights, 160 club visits.
Wow.
And then the last 3 months is when the priority pass act. So most of it was just our clubs, okay. Except for three times of those, Drew guested me into fancy lounges.
Centurion. Okay. You went to
the and we've never been to that one. We went to the Qantas one.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Capital One and the Star Alliance Lounge. Those are all top of the three that I've been to all year. So in 3 months, I went to 36 party pass uses in 3 months.
Dang.
I was so proud of me doing two.
I've been using it more for like entertainment with my kids. I take the kids to get out of the house. And so like this last weekend, we did Dallas and the lounges and the game. So, and then I went to 13 restaurants uses in 3 months, which is like $650 worth.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah.
Like if I was to average that for a year, it would be like $2,500 that worth of money that I would free money basically. So yeah, it was a good year. I traveled a lot.
Did you do any new airlines this year?
Good question.
Yeah. I added, I think 5 or 6.
Holy Moses.
So
I feel like even a couple years ago when we were doing our goals, we would add like one new airline and one new plane or something like that.
Some of those, yeah.
And if you've done 5 or 6, well, that's crazy.
In December, I did the Breeze, Spirit, and Frontier.
Okay.
So, and those were all non-Irving. Those were like points are paid. But, and then I added a few others when in Europe.
Because we can't really non-rev on Frontier, correct?
No, we don't have the benefit on them. Yeah, so.
Can you jump on them?
I should look at
that. I believe you can.
I think I can, probably.
I know that they can have jump seat privileges on us.
Then we have it.
Then it's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Vice versa. Okay,
cool. It has to be reciprocal.
So, yeah, it was a good year, though. I think we had a good time, so.
So, you think you are ready to wear that hat again? The non-rev pro hat?
Well, kind of, yeah.
Okay, I think you are.
I'm officially, I'm not allowed out of the country right now, though.
No, because you don't have a passport?
Yeah, I don't have a passport, so I'm domesticated.
He mailed it in again? Is that what you're saying? You mailed it?
Yeah, we mailed it in.
Did you expedite it?
No. I have a flight I'm hoping to take in 7 weeks. It's an inaugural flight out of Phoenix.
Don't talk about it.
But I have to get the passport back by, and that's the next thing in 7 weeks.
When I told my family you were doing that, Ellie Jo was like, why? She was so confused.
I think I know which one it is, but don't talk about it on the podcast because then it won't happen.
Well, that probably won't happen anyways, but because it has to get
approved by the... It's not the one going up. It's the one going down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or sideways, kind of.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Well, there's two. We have two inaugural flights coming up.
Which ones?
Tijuana.
Tijuana, and there's one in like Washington or Oregon.
But that's not, you don't have a passport for that.
Oh, true. Sorry, I was just meaning like there's two inaugural flights coming up.
Yeah, the flights are open. I'm going to go to Tijuana and then walk across the border and take a bus back to San Diego and fly home. You ever done that?
Inaugural flights are fun.
Yeah.
No matter where you're going.
Even Tijuana.
They're even fun to work,
TJ.
Because I worked the NEO one.
I bet there's just an excitement around it.
I was surprised when they did something for Idle Falls. Remember that? I was kind of like, they're not going to do anything. And you're like, yeah, they want to. It's like, it's Idle Falls.
They had swag. They had swag for that
one. But it was funny. I feel like half the passengers had no idea it was the first flight ever.
Absolutely.
But I'm pretty sure no airlines in the States fly to Tijuana. Hmm. A lot of people walk across the border because it's a whole thing there. You like walk across, there's a special thing right into the airport and you can fly out for cheap because... The flights out of Tijuana to other places in Mexico are super cheap. So people will walk across the border and then take like a $25 flight on Volaris out of
Tijuana. I feel like I've heard that before, yeah.
Or people coming back, I've heard. Was it your friend did that?
Yeah, Jackie did it.
Yeah, into Tijuana, walk across the border, and then fly home from there because they can't get home another way. So I want that experience.
It worked out really, yeah.
Because it's a whole bridge, I think, that crosses the border. And then you got through customs. Yeah, so...
Just be honest. Whatever you have, just be honest with them.
I will have like a backpack probably because... And then the
Chase... That's how you roll.
The new huge Chase Sapphire Lounge in San Diego is supposed to open last month, so it should be open by February.
Oh, maybe that's a Valentine's date idea.
It would be a day trip. So.
Not for you and me, for my wife and I.
No, I thought you were like you talking... You and me. We've already had enough of those. All right, so... I want to talk about your recent trip, Monique, because you just did a big one. But I want to start out with saying a few things.
Uh-oh.
Your flights, you took 6 flights.
To get there?
On your whole round trip, right? And 5 of the 6 were extremely stressful, drama-filled flights.
Oh. They were.
Like, I don't know if it was just the season because it was all on the holidays, but it was like, how is every single flight, like, until the last one probably? That you fight like you're at home from Dallas.
Yeah. Actually, that one was probably one of our least stressful.
Yeah. But every single flight you took. So it was like, it was just amazing. I was like, how was Monique's flight such like a drama queen's fill of.
And they all looked great. Like
at one point.
48 hours before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I feel like all of them looked so good. So we'll start out. We were going to do.
Tokyo.
Okay. And we didn't talk about it because. We have learned that when we talk about it on the podcast, it
kind of curses my family.
Just your family, mine too, remember?
Yeah.
Me too.
But apparently it didn't matter because we didn't talk about it. It still didn't happen, so.
But
a little different.
I called my parents today after being back and my mom was like, Dad didn't even know you, or I didn't even know you weren't going to Tokyo. Like it was, because apparently I didn't update them. But yeah, because those flights, I was doing all the research on them. I knew how many upgrades were going to take, good seats. And when I told my kids we're probably not going to get lay flats, they were like, ugh.
They had never done it though, right? Because you and Tawny did it at the London.
Yeah. So back. We got them going to Christmas markets.
Yeah.
Kids have still never done it. But that was something they were really looking forward to.
They knew.
That was one way we'd kind of presented Christmas was like, we're going to go to Tokyo. We're going to get really good seats because it looked amazing, like super open.
Yeah.
And then those just went, they were like 36 D1s. Vacation passes listed for these things. We weren't going to be able to beat any of them in our check-in time, even traveling from somewhere else. Like it just, Tokyo didn't look great. So I was texting you two.
It just fell apart on you, really.
Yeah. And so I was like, we've got to find something else. And you guys came up with Paris and it looked great too. So I told the kids, I was like, we're going to get lay flats everywhere. It's going to be so good again. And they were like, yeah, heck yeah, let's go do Paris. That's great. But we were going to go to LA. To New York, then Paris, but then...
Because the New York to Paris, that was the one that looked good, like that segment.
Yeah, that one had like 18 in business open.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, it looked great.
And it was on the 23rd, like, right? Or the 24th, Christmas Eve.
On Christmas Eve, yeah.
Okay.
And even getting to LA was going to be open. And then we were going to be the first D1s going out of LA. So I was like, that's great. But then LA filled up, getting even to LA, and then LA to New York was like completely full. So I was looking at all the different options about how to try to get there. How do we even just get to New York? Getting to New York was going to be hard. So we found if we could get to San Francisco, we could get from San Francisco to New York on the lay flats.
But not on our airline because it was like -8.
Yeah. So we couldn't even get on our airline. So then the problem is with our check-in time, the way our system works, I had to like restart over kind of and recheck us in out of San Francisco.
Oh.
Because we weren't taking the first leg. So by not taking it, you're kind of disqualified from that check-in time. So we took Southwest, got the very last seats. We didn't even know if we were going to be able to get all on one Southwest flight to San Francisco. We were ready to split up, send some to San Francisco, some to San Jose, and Uber over. But we got lucky enough that all of us was on. So we all got on that one to San Francisco, which
good
was
good
like
seats.
Huge, middles. Yeah. No, I actually ended up with a window, but I had a baby behind me who was losing their mind for the entire flight.
It's going to be worth it.
So that's what I kept telling. Yeah, I was like, I'm in a window. Can't complain. I'm in a window. I can't complain.
And you're all on.
And we were all on. So I was like, yeah, we're good. We get to San Francisco. We head up to the club. That's what I wanted to give a shout out. There was an agent down there. Her name was Jamie. And she was
in San Francisco.
She was phenomenal.
They have the best agents.
In the club. Like, even when we checked in, I was like, hey, can you help us with putting our through status on? And the lady there at the desk was like, go talk to Jamie upstairs. She's the best. So we got up there and I was like, I'm looking for Jamie. And she was like, that's me. And she was so good. She helped our family. Zachy needed a shower. So right away helped him with that. She even came over and she was like, so I noticed that you guys listed for business and not first class. Did you guys want first?
I thought that was wondering what, how that, cause it happened to me.
That was me. Okay. I was actually the one who went in and rebooked our flights.
Yeah.
And I'm so used to putting J class as the highest cabin.
Oh.
But it's not on that one. F is the first. So anyway, so I messed up. And she was like, I'll just make a note that you want first class. And I was like, thank you so much. So she caught that for us, added the through, worked all that out, put us it as first. She was so sweet. She even like was making jokes with Zachy could see him on like a Celtics jersey and she was like, your team's dumb or something. Anyway, like she was so sweet. So we actually dropped some candy off to her too. And she was like, I don't need this. And we were like, no, like you've done so much. Thank you.
Shout out to Jamie and the club.
Yes.
In San Francisco.
She was awesome. So we were only there a couple hours though, got freshened up, went down. And it was funny because you go from like the club setting down to like regular people. And you really, I was like, why did we come down so early? Like, you feel like you're with.
The area in San Francisco is nice though, right?
It is. Like, walking through again, I was like, it feels like a living room to me, which I love.
It's such a nice airport. Yeah. But you sent a GIF to both of us, I think. They were like walking around peasants after coming from the club. you
feel like, and it was just so loud down there too. That's what I was like, why is everyone talking? Like, can't people just be quiet? Everyone got first class on that one. So it was my family's first time.
Were you stressed on that one though? Once you got to San Francisco, you knew you were good. Because it seemed like you, though, that one even had a little bit of.
I think we were. It was going to be, I think because of our check-in time, I was a little more nervous for it.
Okay, that was.
I wasn't quite sure if all of us were going to get in first or some were going to be split and go into business.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You would have got good seats. It was just
which cabin we were going to be in, I think.
You guys jumped everyone to get that because you were in the throughs.
By putting the through on it, yeah.
So what did your kids think about that? So it's San Francisco to New York. I do it all the time. I talk about it all the time. What did they think of that first experience and like that?
They loved it. Like, that's it. I was texting Tani. I was like, because I was in the very front and then it was like two across.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really see them like exploring or checking things out and stuff. So and Tani was in the very back. So I was like, babe, are they liking it? And she was like, you should see Zachy's face. Like, he's got a grin from like ear to ear. Yeah. Like, he's loving it.
Is that 321T?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they had their first lay down experience. They got their first like big kind of meal on the plane. Yeah, they had.
The bad thing about that flight is it's so short. Like,
yeah,
they do the meal and then you like lay down to sleep and like an hour and a half later, like starting breakfast up if you want it. Yeah. So
I don't, one of the girls, I don't think slept much because they were so excited. Like the whole time.
I get it.
But then, so we landed in New York. We go check in into the club there because we were still trashed because I don't think we'd slept much because we kind of like ran. And then we checked in and the lady was like, we don't update on flight times, but you've got all day, so don't worry about it. Because we landed about 6:30 and our flight didn't leave till 5.
What do you mean flight times?
She was just saying, like, we don't announce, like, when it's boarding time for your flight.
Oh, so the club.
Like, just be aware. But then
in Miami, they announce all the clubs. Oh, do they? All the times, yeah.
And I think in Phoenix, we announce when London leaves. Maybe there's like a few ones they do, but she wanted us to let us know that, like, they're not going to babysit us kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when she saw how long we had, she was like, you're fine. So the kids were trash. So they went and they pretty much took over the quiet area, but they took away the good lounging seats.
I know. I recently saw that and I was like, oh, those were so nice.
But you don't have to worry. My kids made themselves at home there with their like blankets and stuff. They were very comfortable, slept for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
3 or 4 hours. We woke up, we went and did, they have a steakhouse.
Right, part kind of the party pass. Yeah.
Part of the party pass. It's right by like the Chelsea and the Soho lounges area.
Okay.
Kind of coming in. And Allie Jo's like a huge steak fan. So we were like, let's go check out the Party Pass Steakhouse.
She's not the vegetarian.
She's not the vegetarian. Okay, no. That doesn't exist. So we have like the opposites. Yeah, we have like one who loves steak and meat and then one who's a vegetarian. But went and tried that out.
You said a receipt and like $20 for a fake burger. And I was like, that's a lot of money for a fake.
But yeah, we were pretty proud of ourselves because the five of us all ate
good size amount of
food. Yeah, food at a steakhouse. And we only owed before like tip was like $1.50 or something, $1.20.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were pretty proud of ourselves.
I still think that the restaurant part of the party pass that Chase has is a huge benefit that people don't consider.
I agree too, because it's just, I mean, it was nice to have the club to relax. You could have fed yourself
all day in the club. Yeah. There's food all day. You could have fed yourself, but it's not restaurant. Like,
no, it's not restaurant sit down.
It just feels different. Yeah. To be able to sit in a restaurant, order exactly what you want off the menu.
Yeah.
And thank you, family on standby, because they're the ones that told us about the priority of the pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should check that out though in JFK. The restaurant's good.
So then went back. Yeah. Got settled. I think the rest of us showered at that point, got ready. We went and got on our flight. I don't remember that one being.
You, because of your late check-in, you weren't sure if you were going to get the late flight seat.
Oh, yeah. No, so we're sitting in
the club. So there was drama. Yes, every flight almost.
Yes, there was. As we were watching it, because there's five of us, we were sitting and with the other three people now checking, like being added.
Yeah.
It was bumping us down, further down. And there was only enough for four of our family to get the late flight.
And you had five. Because I remember asking you, how are you going to decide?
And I was already like, no, like Tawny's got a bad back. She needs to lay down. She needs to have it. And the kids, this is something we'd kind of promised. And also my thought process is, here's mine. The kids are going to lose benefits in a few years, right? Like I'm going to have these hopefully forever.
Hopefully.
That's the plan. But they're going to be off in a few years. So I want them to have as many of these experiences as they can.
I get that. Uh-huh.
So, and I know it kind of is like, but you're the parent, but no, yeah. Like I want to give that to them. So I was ready to take premium, but as we walked down, another business seat opened up.
Wow.
So
that's great.
You got the last one.
Yeah. So awesome. So I was the last one to get it.
Because it went from like 18, like you said, down to like 8 and then 7, I think.
Yeah.
And you were number 8 and then they ended up opening
up. And then one opened back up. That is right.
This is the flight that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, they all are.
So this is the one from New York to Paris. And we get on and there is this family that was the neediest family I've
not ever seen. Non-refs though, right?
No, like paying passengers.
What was
like,
the family made of? Like how? Like a big family?
It was a mom and dad and like, I want to say an 11-year-old son and then like a 2 or 3-year-old little girl.
Okay, all in business.
All in business. And I'm not sure. One of the flight attendants up front started talking to him about special meals right off the bat. And they had changed their flight from L.A., or they made changes, and so their special meals weren't
loaded.
Yeah. Loaded, yeah. Uh-huh. And they were checking in with them, telling them, we're trying to get it. Last I heard, they'd went and said, we weren't able to get it for you. And in the meantime, is you get on so early that, like, normally you get in and settled, and you kind of sit in your seat, you have, like, a drink and stuff. No, this family was going back and forth, up and down the aisles. And I'm kind of like stuck like in the middle. Yeah, I'm already like, this family is a pain.
I understand to a point having a small one, because if I fly with one of my kids that even like 6 years old, I'm like helping him get settled and showing him all the like parts of that seat that they don't do it often. So part of me understands a little bit, but maybe you said it was different than that.
When they were like, opening the overhead bins, getting into bags, then going around the other side, opening that bin, getting into bags. And then like the son would come over and he'd be looking for something. And I was just like, I'm exhausted watching you guys. Like you guys
are, down.
Yeah, you guys are a lot. So we get up in the air and where I get like my drink and they're taking meal orders and I'm almost like set to eat. And a flight attendant comes over and she kneels by me and I'm like,
okay, this isn't good.
That's not good. Yeah.
And she's like, so, and I don't remember exactly what she said, but she did drop the F-bomb somewhere in there. Like you could tell she was raw. Like she was about ready to cry. And she was like, this family has been like a lot. And she goes, one of their chairs is broken. And so it won't completely lay flat. And you're our last non-rev. So I need to ask you to move to like swap seats with them. And I'm like, coming from the gate agent perspective, I get it. Like they're the paying passenger. Yeah. Like, of course they come first.
I can't believe this.
But I'm also like thinking, why wasn't this conversation had before? Like, how did they not know that this chair was broken? Because I'm pretty sure our maintenance guys come on and verify the chairs.
You are correct.
Everything before. So anyway, so I'm thinking this family probably did something to the chair. Yeah. Because yeah, just no,
that's like exactly what happened.
Seeing them in the last like 45 minutes or so, they've been a lot. So I'm more than happy. I'm like, yes, just move me where you need to. Like, you don't need any more stress. This family's a nightmare. And also the lady, the flight attendant was frustrated because she said something like to the extent of like, the purser wouldn't come do this herself.
Oh, and so that is a purser job.
So that's what I was kind of like, yeah, like if in my position, if things like this, like that's a supervisor's job. Like it's yeah. not a yeah. fun one, but that's part of why you get paid extra is to deal with these things. And the purser didn't even do it. She sent her to kind of do the dirty work. So she was not happy. She had to, anyway, so she was helping me move all my stuff over, got moved over, had my meal. So and
you had already ate or you took your food with you?
They moved my meal over to that new seat. And even like the next few, like, crew that came by where they were just like, they're trying to cater. You could tell they were trying to be like, thank you for moving, trying to be so sweet. But I had my meal.
Like, and then, you had a choice.
And I was ready just to crash out. Like I was tired at this point too. So, and I knew I wanted to sleep because when we landed, we were going to get there in the morning, start going.
And go. Well, how was the seat? How broke was it?
I mean, it had the leg come up. You just couldn't go flat. So,
and not, just, not it's how flat. Recline a little bit or, like, or yeah, not any at
recline?
All?
Maybe a tiny bit recline. Not much, but I'm still thinking it's probably similar to what a premium economy would have been.
Okay.
Right. So I couldn't have been that mad because I was like, my other option would have been premium economy who also didn't lay flat.
Well, you get your legs come up. That's a big deal because I've complained about the premium economy. It's no legs. It's just like bar. So that even would be better.
So I was like, I'm just fine here. And I knew my family was all in the back, like completely, like they were great. They were all set up in the back.
In
that business section, you either go, when you come in, you go to the left or the right.
Yeah.
They went to still in business, but they were just on the
other
side. When
you say the back, it makes it sound like you're pleasant. Yeah.
Yeah. So no. They were just in the second section of business.
And they thought it was good. Family. Did that family calm down? Were they done?
No. Like every time I woke up, there was something going on. Every single time that a flight attendant went by, the dad had to get out of his seat and ask him a question. Like he like never stayed in a seat. Also, what also kind of irked me, just real quick, is the seat that I replaced was for like the 3-year-old, right? Like she could have still laid down. She could have totally laid down still in the seat.
Wow.
So
they moved you for a 3-year-old?
Yeah, I think that's part of when I was like, when I saw that's who took my seat, I was kind of like, are you kidding me? Like, but you can't say anything as a non-rev, right?
No.
But I was like, she was so tiny. Like, it's probably smaller than Lola. Like, tiny.
Yeah, she would. I mean, Lola can sleep in a, like, two seats across in the back and be fine. Like,
yeah. Not a bassinet, though.
No.
Karen knows that.
Yeah, Karen knows that.
No fat babies. But, yeah, I was like, even in the morning, he was still up asking everything that came by. Nothing was right. And I was just like, oh, bless these little flight. That's part of why, too. Like, so I didn't get my breakfast. I was hoping for, like, morning coffee or something. But with the medical thing, I didn't know how, like, done they were with the flight. So I didn't ask for coffee or water or anything like that. But I was...
I wish you had been offered it.
I was trying to make eye contact with them, but I was like, I think they're just exhausted.
Yeah.
But from that family.
For sure, from that family.
Not from you, from that family.
But from everything I heard from my family in the second business section, they had an amazing flight attendant. she took amazing job of them. Like, good. great job. Yeah.
That makes me so happy.
But she must have still loved them because she gave them a bag of about 30, 40 shooters.
What?
Yeah. She like double bagged it and was like, enjoy these.
I love that. So she did that.
So it's a, we're coming off and I'm coming off kind of a little bit cranky because I was like, I didn't sleep great. Da, da, da. And they're like, we had an amazing flight and she gave us this. And I was like, I'm so glad you guys had that experience. But it it was straight whiskey. So Tani must have ordered like a Diet Coke and whiskey. And so that's all she gave them. Jack and the other fancy kind. But
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get to Paris. Your first time in Paris. Your third new... Have you been to France?
I've never been to France.
Your third new country, European country, in a month.
Yeah.
Wow.
So one tip, though, is if you write up front to Paris, they give you, it's called an N1 access card.
Okay.
And it will either get you like through an expedited customs going, like entering the country, or you can save it and use it on your return when you leave, because you have to also go through a customs on the way out.
But not both, one or the other?
It's one or the other, because you have to kind of hand it in.
Yeah.
So they had, I didn't know this because my flight attendants were so busy, they didn't have a conversation with me this, but I guess they told my family in the back, the other section, that you save it and you use it on your return. So I didn't know. So I'm getting ready to go through customs when we got there, and I handed my card off, and so they all followed me, and then they were like, oh man, we were supposed to save that for the return. But anyway, so a tip, if you get the N1 access card.
I wonder if your return, because you didn't come back to the States from Paris, if it would have been different, being a different...
Well, that's true.
We still had to use it. We could have used it going over to England.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think anytime you're leaving... Yeah, anytime you're leaving the EU...
When we fly to Paris, this has been 5-6 years ago, there was, it felt like we just kept going through customs and security, like over and over to finally get to our gate. It was like Germany was the same way, I feel like.
Yeah. So just heads up, keep your passes, keep those.
Okay.
And then use
them return.
For the return when you're leaving.
That's you a pro
kinda,
tip.
Kind of have like an expedited customs, then you just go through the security.
I've never got life flat into Paris, so lucky you.
Yeah. So we landed, we went and got our Airbnb. It was great. It was perfect.
Did you get your money back from Tokyo?
Yes.
Because you booked the room refundable. So yes. You had canceled. Okay.
Yes. So we'd actually bought, we'd done a refundable hotel and a refundable Airbnb, and we got both those back.
Okay.
Airbnb, and it's a nice one. It's close to what?
To everything, right? It was like, we stayed, when I say Paradise, was like clear out, but we had like the Marriott discounts, but.
It was like close enough to go like maybe half a mile, 3/4 mile, jump on the subway.
Oh.
Good, and make our way in. I think once we finally designated a director or like someone who was going to guide us, we did better. Because when all of us want to do our own direction giving, it doesn't go well and there's a lot of fighting. So I think we kind of like assigned it over to Zach and we're like, okay, go kid.
That's smart. Give it to the man.
Well, I mean, he does a pretty good job. So
you had 3 days in Paris, right?
Yes.
You landed at the first one.
Roughly,
and you
yes.
left the night of the third one.
Yes.
And your second day was your set. So how did you plan your other stuff you did and what things did you do?
So the plan was to do, hop on, hop off so we could kind of see.
So you did that.
The whole.
That's a good idea.
The first day. Yeah. So first day. And when the kids were hungry. So first just went, we actually took a little nap, then got food.
So was that on Christmas Day?
That was Christmas
Day.
And
they still did hop off and hop off.
Yes.
Okay.
And. The city was a little more dead, kind of where we were at. I think you could tell that a lot more people were kind of like, not bunkered in, but they were not out and about as much, working as much.
I was wondering if it was going to be nice because there wasn't so many tourists out and things, but.
But like the further the day got on, I think people were venturing out more.
Yeah.
So yeah, got on the, we first took it down. We got to go see the Louvre. So we walked kind of around that. It was actually closed being Christmas.
Yeah.
But you could kind of look down and. See a few things around it.
You got some great photos there.
Yeah, it is really pretty. That was one thing I was excited to see.
You got some family photos there.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And then we got on the bus, went around. I was kind of excited to see Notre Dame, to see how much had been actually destroyed. And it was quite a bit.
Oh, that's too bad.
Like we didn't get off there. We just kind of, took it around and stuff. But yeah, quite a bit was You could tell they're doing a lot of reconstruction
on it. It's going to be a big project, yeah.
But they had cute little Christmas markets like right next to it that we were had put on our list to come back to.
I was surprised when you were sending us pictures that they were doing markets on Christmas Day. It seems like most places it would be shut down. Christmas is over. Like we're sold stuff now. So I was surprised when they still had them on Christmas Day.
Those are, I think as part of it, maybe people were like, we're here for Christmas. Let's go do the Christmas market kind of idea.
She got to show that to the kids.
Yeah. So then we took it around, got to see some of the other points. They have a memorial right outside the tunnel where Princess Diana died.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one that we'd kind of said we would have liked to have come back and seen that a little more. Like you could see like people still put flowers out there on it. And then
no paparazzis allowed in the tunnel, right?
Yeah. F them. And then we kind of left the Eiffel Tower as kind of like our late afternoon so we could try to get some pictures there in the daytime. And then my friend Valerie had said, you have to see it at night.
Yeah.
Like, make sure you stay.
You were there like at twilight. I thought that was perfect.
Yeah. So then we got to see like both of those. And I think one of my like sweetest moments of the whole trip was at the Eiffel Tower. We'd went and had dinner and then we're coming back because all the lights were on. We're getting some photos. And I had taken some of those shooters from our flight attendant. Yeah. And I wanted all of us to have like a cheers together at the tower, at the Eiffel Tower. And so we were there and then all of a sudden like we're having our little family moment and you can just see like Zachy starts to cry and he's like, this is a bucket list of mine, like thank you for making this dream come true. And it was so sweet. It was just this like moment of like, I gotta help give this to this kid, like I gotta help. Yeah. That kind of bucket list moment. So it was really sweet. And
don't look at me right now.
And then we all took our Jack shots and then the moment was kind of done because it was so gross. But it was like, it was funny too, because it went from like this so sweet, like all of us like sharing this moment to then all being so grossed out by these just straight warm whiskey shots. It was really sweet to have the moment. And then they had markets right there next to the Eiffel Tower as well. So the kids
and they were open.
They were open. So then the kids got to try the glue wine.
Glue wine, yeah.
So they got to try that there. We got some crepes right outside the Eiffel Tower.
Claudia will be so happy that we had that your kids had glue wine.
So, yeah. And so they either loved it or they hated it. Hayden.
You hate that. You can't hate that.
They put this like thing in it that made it almost taste like black licorice over there.
Gross.
I don't like anise.
But Zachy was like, this is good.
So how did the markets in Paris compared to the ones you did in Germany?
Let's talk about Germany. Yeah,
it was so crowded that you couldn't even look at stuff at that point. It was so crowded in those markets.
That's so surprising.
And I think because partly they were so small.
Okay,
so like it wasn't that big, and so you were just like literally like shoulder to shoulder with people. And I don't handle that well. That I didn't even feel like you could stop to look at stuff because you were being pushed from this way to move forward and.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, so how long did it take you to get glue wine?
Actually, that kind of food section wasn't as bad. That maybe took us only 5 minutes or so.
Okay.
Yeah. But so we did that.
After your day of the hop on, hop off tour, what was your feelings about the city of Paris? Because that's a lot to see in one day. You probably didn't get a time to like really take in because hop on, hop has a good purpose, but it's also like a teaser of it all because there's so much in Paris to see. There's so many, right?
Yeah.
Because you took pictures of all these different, I was like, well, they're doing a good job. I didn't realize you did the bus.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, they're getting around a lot. They're seeing a lot of stuff in one day.
Well, one of my first impressions was I want to see Paris like in the spring.
Okay.
When the trees are in bloom or like at least they're green and full.
Yeah.
I bet Paris is beautiful in the spring, summertime. Yeah, there's a lot of different things that it would be nice to be able to go down and actually like see more outside the bus where you feel like you can take your time. And we were on the top because that's what I told him. I said, your best pictures and stuff to see stuff is going to be on top.
Yeah.
But the two girls bailed about halfway through and they went downstairs in the inside because they were just like, it's so cold. But I would recommend the hop on, hop off. It's still I think it's one of the best ways to see a city quickly.
A big city as Laon.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
If you want to see major points and kind of say like, okay. And then it does give you that chance to say, okay, I want to go back and see this. I want to see that.
One thing that we did when Keenan went for our 5-year anniversary, so we did Paris, we did a night hop on, hop up bus, which wasn't hop on. It was just more of a tour.
Okay.
But they took you to see all the lights.
Oh, cool.
So it was really cool. And you end at the Eiffel Tower, you kind of come to it. It's all lit up. And sparkling and everything. Yeah. So, yeah. So, but it was a cool torch. It was something that would, if you're in Paris, to check out.
One thing my family learned very quickly is that there's no bathrooms anywhere.
Yeah.
And our family pees every 40 minutes to 30 minutes.
Because you drink those 40 shots in like an afternoon, right?
No, I don't. But so that's, we were going to try to go back to Notre Dame. We were going to have enough time to go see those markets. But everyone had to pee. And so it just got vetoed. And we were like, nope, we better just go home before we pee our pants. So.
And when you ask places to use the in France, everyone says, talks negatively about the people in France. I didn't have that experience. Except for like asking about bathrooms, then they get all kind of busy. So,
well, that's a lot of places would have signs that are like not a public restroom.
Yeah.
Not a public restroom. So we kind of learned a thing from Lara, if like go in, buy a beer somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you can use their bathroom. But the problem is we would go sit down to get a drink. And next thing you know, like you're ordering five drinks and it's taken forever. And yeah. Anyway, it wasn't ever like a quick. We need to find just like quick.
And then you have another drink in you. So they have another bathroom.
Yeah.
Or that's the one bathroom on the block. And so the line to use it is 15 deep. So that was our first day there. Our second day. So one of the reasons we talked about or planned on doing Tokyo was because Disney is so cheap over there. And that's like what Tawny had wanted to do. Christmas was she wanted to do Disneyland. So good news about Paris is they have a Disneyland over there as well.
This Excellent. Is the first time in 3 years that. We're talking about Disney, so get 3 minutes. Go.
So it is still cheaper than like California Disney.
What are prices like? So we can know what is.
Well, one thing I was frustrated with was if you just look on like the app to buy a ticket, it shows it at like $65 a person a day. And I was like, that's a great deal. But then when you actually select your days, so the days we wanted to go, it was actually like 117. I was like,
it's like off peak days or something.
Maybe. Yeah. So that's it. Maybe you could actually find a very cheap day to go to Disney in Paris. The days that we chose were not, but I will say it was still decorated in Christmas stuff, like completely decorated Christmas, which is really cute. And it is really fun to have all the Christmas stuff up.
Oh, I bet.
But also we've decided Europeans don't know how to queue or line up. So it's just a madhouse when you're trying to get into the park.
Okay.
Like people were just like creating their own lines and then like cutting in front of us. And it's a little stressful. And even we would notice that their personal space is different than ours. So they would be like on us. Like you could feel them almost breathing on your neck. And you're like, bro. Like, you're not going to get on the ride any quicker. Like, just because I'm not on the next person's butt doesn't mean that you're, like, never get. Yeah, it's just like.
Was it freezing? They're trying to stay warm? So they're just like, everyone packed right together?
Well, that happened to us, remember?
Yeah, that was our Amsterdam. We were laughing that like, if Lara was here, she would help us shame these people.
We could take pictures of them.
Yeah. Because they were right on us. And being Americans, I thought we saw that British people had big bubbles, right? I thought their personal space was big. But I guess Americans, maybe ours is really big as well. Because anyway, we did not like that. But Disney was really fun. We had a great time there. We actually did like the two parks. So kind of like how California or Florida has, I think even like in Tokyo, it's kind of common to have like a California Adventures and a Disneyland next to each other kind of thing. So they kind of like complement each other.
What was theirs called?
It was a Disneyland and then a Disney Studios. Okay. Disney Studios. Oh. So that's where they had like Tower of Terror was over in the other one. They had more like Avengers.
Because you just buy tickets to one, it'd be cheaper?
You could have. So I did up by because I was like, if we're only there for the day, let's get both parks in. Let's go do as much as we can.
Go hard.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought. And you probably definitely could have just done one park. And I had a good time, but I wanted the kids to do both, get them done. So they had like the Spider-Man ride, which Zach was really excited about. They loved the Tower of Terror.
What was the Spider-Man ride good?
So it is fun. It's one where you kind of sit four crossed and then you use your hands to pretend like you're slinging webs. And it like actually traces and like sensors, like there's sensors that do your hands.
Wow.
And you get points on it. So you're competing against your seatmates. I couldn't get any points So I was getting so frustrated mm-hmm. that finally at the end, I just started flipping it off. And that's when I was getting all my points.
She's using her middle finger.
So I was like, if I do this again, I'm definitely doing this technique.
Oh, yeah.
Just using the bird.
It's your pro tip for anyone going to do this.
Yeah, because I was trying to do almost like guns or like just my pointer fingers, and it wasn't working. I wasn't getting any points. And Tawny's over there having a great time. She's just killing it.
In Disney, you don't ever point with one finger. It's always with you. So maybe that was your problem.
Oh, is that a thing? Really?
Oh, yeah. Did you know that?
No. What is it?
How did I know this about Disney?
I don't know.
They teach you don't point with one finger at Disney. It's offensive in some countries. So it's they always point with two fingers in Disney.
Well, that's what we do when we're doing the demo.
You never point with two one. Fingers. It's always two. Yeah.
Oh.
Now you use two fingers to point out all the X's.
How am I teaching you Disney stuff?
I don't know.
It's embarrassing.
But I'm also teaching you just use the birds if you want. So yeah, we had, it was kind of cool. It was kind of misty.
That's what I wanted to know. In December, because Paris is not California. I
mean, yeah.
Weather-wise, you're going to get cold. So how was it Christmas, like that time of year?
Plus she had texted me. I'm not sure I brought enough warm clothes.
Before
we left, the kids were like, it's the same temperature as Phoenix. It's not going to be any different. We're going to be fine. And I was like, I think it's going to be cold. They're like, no, we're going to be fine. It was cold. Like, we ended up buying like extra scarves and hats. I would have
expected it to be the same as like Amsterdam, London. I mean, yeah, you're in Europe. Yeah, it's not in Southern Europe. Like, you're in Europe, like not Northern, but you're in that same area. I think it would be cold.
Yeah, it was cold. It didn't rain on us, which I was always grateful
but
for.
But did everyone look cute?
That's very high importance with this family.
I have
to
tell you, I noticed the attire. The girls looked cute. Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, Allie Jo had borrowed this big old coat from her friend Jill, so she looked so cute in that.
Were the rides outside or the inside, so you were going into buildings and doing rides? Does that make sense? Like, because if they're inside, you're kind of going, but
it seems like... Mixed, I think. Okay. Some of them you do kind of go inside, but I think some were outside
as
well.
The ones that are outside, were they freezing?
Kind of. They have a Space Mountain, but they called it like Space Mountain Hyper or something. Extreme. And I thought, I can do this. Like, I can do some roller coasters. I loved about 30 seconds of it, and then I hated the rest.
Sure. Oh.
Eyelashes?
No, it wasn't my eyelashes. Sure. I got motion sickness on it. So I think if you would just listen to the ride, you could tell exactly when I got sick. Because it was a lot of like laughing and like, woohoo, and then like just silence of me. Yeah, like, oh, crap. So coming off that, I kind of said, I'm not doing any more like roller coastery rides because I knew better.
Okay.
The Haunted Mansion was a little different, which was fun. It's like got more of a Western-y kind of feel.
I pulled up on the map because I could stalk you a little bit. Mm-hmm. Disneyland's kind of outside of Paris a little bit, right? How is it hard to get out there? How was that process?
No, yeah. So we took, there's like a bus you can take for like 65 euros a person.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot.
And that's what I was like, I think we're just going to ride the train because you can take just one of the major trains into Disney.
Okay.
So we took like their metro or like kind of like the subway and then took a train out to it. And the train's about a 40-minute ride.
And how much was that cost-wise?
Well.
Is it expensive?
No, I don't think so. We only paid about 10 euros total, I think.
Okay.
I don't know if we actually scanned everywhere, right? But that's what we paid.
You scanned the best to your ability.
But that was going. So that's also a tip I would give is if you're staying till fireworks end, as soon as you get there, just swing around, buy your return tickets already.
Oh, yeah.
So that, because when you leave, everyone's to buy their tickets. Yeah. But if you already have your tickets, you already just go and you just swipe them and you just go get on your trip.
Pro tip.
Yeah. So that's what I would say as well. As soon as you get there, just go around the corner, buy your train tickets to leave, and then you're set.
Okay.
Because we stayed for fireworks. That was one thing that I was excited about. I wanted to see their big show at the end. And we were still some of the first ones out. And then we still had to kind of try to figure out how to buy tickets real quick to get on the train and make sure there was space for us.
Not having anything to compare it to, because you've never been there. Mm-hmm. How were the crowds? December,
so
Paris.
When we first got, I don't know if it was the weather or not, because it was kind of a little colder. They did Indiana Jones two times in a row because it was only like a 5-minute wait. So until about from like 9 till I say about 11:30-ish or so, lines weren't bad at all.
Okay.
Then they started to pick up. And then they started to pick up to be a little bit about 40-minute waits.
Okay.
But a 40-minute wait at a Disneyland park, I don't feel like is that bad. I mean,
debatable. Yeah,
the kids did buy fast passes to go on one of the big roller coasters. It's kind of like the California Screamer or whatever. Like, anyway, but they paid extra money to get like an expedited line
for that one ride,
just the one ride,
or every time they do that ride.
Yeah, it was a one-time thing.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So it was one that was on their list. They really wanted to do. The lines never went down on all day. It had about a...
That was a good choice then.
About a 75-minute wait. Yeah, and even the single rider line was supposed to be about 35-minute wait. And then they closed the single rider line down as soon as they got there. So they were like, let's just pay it. So they went and did that. And then as soon as they got off, they opened the single rider line back up. But they were like...
Of course.
Whatever. They got to do it. They enjoyed it.
Let's get into the third day because... I know you had 30 dates, and I knew that you wanted to take the last flight out of Paris. So I was wondering, what are you doing on the third day? I was going to suggest things, but it seemed like you were just going to be in bed all day because you were trash from Disney.
Well, so then one of my things I really wanted to see was Versailles.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should go. Yeah, if you have a day, go.
I really wanted, that was like, it's been one of my things of Paris was, mm-hmm. I want to see Versailles. By the time I got on to get his tickets for it, like some of the cheapest tickets were going to be about 70 euros a person.
Wow, that's a lot.
To like have a guided tour.
Okay.
Someone, I think Valerie or maybe you had said, you can still go see the grounds or something.
Yeah.
But for me, I was like, if I go that far, I want to see it. I want to be able to enjoy it. I want a tour. I want someone who can like actually tell me about it.
Katie forced us to get the tour and I was like, no, no, no. And then I was so glad we did.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't think we paid anything like that. I don't think
it was. I think it's because it was like last minute.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I would think I was literally looking at it in
Disney. You get to see Disney so much more with the tour. Yeah. That you can go through the main rooms and it's just packed. But the tour, like you're going in the back rooms and they're like, you can see this packed people as you're like walking quick through the back rooms. And
that's cool.
Yeah. So, next time you go, get tickets and do that.
Is this where Justin and his wife went in the garden and he saw the naked lady?
She saw.
Well, yeah. Jen
didn't describe him as, yeah.
She didn't describe
the naked lady. He goes, tell me more. How do you tell your wife to tell you more without being too creepy?
Oh, Jen. She should have told him.
So the next morning, my wife, once she like wakes up, she's like, she's up. So she goes to the bathroom about 4, she's up at 4. And we were planning on getting up and kind of going back into town and seeing more stuff.
Yeah.
But she was still sleeping at like 8 o'clock. And so I was like, I'm not going to budge her. And no one else, you couldn't hear anything else in the house as well. So I was like, I'm going to let everyone else just sleep. I mean, let's just take the day. So I think we slept almost till 10 o'clock, just let everyone chill. And then at this point, I'm trying to now get tickets for
Zeds
from Paris to London.
Because our Paris back to the States on any of our flights didn't look great, right?
Yeah, none of them looked great. There was one that possibly did, but it wasn't even going to put all of us in business. And it was going to be even close if all of us were going to get on it. And so I was like, I think we need to get out of Paris. I looked up at like trains from Paris to London. They were super expensive.
Crazy. And then EasyJet
was going to be super expensive.
You don't get like the benefit of the through passenger when you do that.
Yeah.
The airline's a big deal. Yeah.
So I kind of was like,
both for taxes and for status.
Exactly. So, yeah. But I had thought about doing the train. I was like, if that's the only thing to get us out.
Yeah.
But there was a British Airways flight that evening and there was an Air France. So I was like, hey, let me just get this British Airways one done and then we'll go get breakfast or whatever. It's being like a pain to get it all situated, worked out. Anyway, finally get it all done. I think I even get us checked in for it. And I'm like, okay, let's go get lunch. And then somehow I see it's been canceled.
Oh.
So I was like, are you kidding me?
Because you said they canceled the day before and you were worried about, right? They canceled the last one, the Paris to London, the last one of the day. And you're like, I'm worried they canceled last night, right? And then they canceled the next night too, your night.
So yeah, I was like, well.
And the one that went out before, I heard from our friend that it went out like 103% full. Like, it
was, oh, really?
Yeah.
It was full, like they jump seaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I started to panic. I was like, oh no, if that canceled, did they put people on Air France as well? So is that flight that had 20, finally heard back from Air France on staff traveler.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, there were 20 seats open on it. I was like, is there still 20 seats even open on that? So then I kind of tell my family, go get food. I know you guys are hungry now. You're up and moving. Like, go get food. I need to get us set on Air France before I feel like I can go do anything.
Air France.
So finally get, and I'm having struggles listing on them as well. Finally get it situated, get us listed on it. I go meet up with them. We go have a nice lunch, just kind of got packed up. And then we headed to the airport.
Yeah.
I think at this point, as
Did you just take the train to the airport?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
It's No, we took an Uber. We Ubered because like, I'm so sick of doing my bags on these cobblestone roads. And there's five of us and we have so much stuff. Like we haven't mastered the small packing yet. So yeah, we just got a van that took us. And so we're sitting in the van. There's an accident. It's so bad that we've just been stopped at this light for like six green lights. Our driver gets out. He's looking around like to see what's going on. Our flight's now down to four seats open on it. Five, like maybe it was five and five.
I'm having anxiety.
They got the update. It was five open and five. So
and there like, were five. Still. Yeah. So it was right at. And so I was like, okay, we just need like one. You know what I mean? Like we're good. Went over when we saw the agents show up and I was like, hey, were your like staff travelers checking in? And the guy was like, well, where's your passport? And so I was like, here it is. And he goes, oh, and then he comes back at the seat and he was like, welcome. Here's your business seat. And I was like, what? So assigned me a business seat. And I was like, I'm with the other four. And he goes, yeah, have them bring their passports up. We'll get them seats. I ran over and I was like, get your passports. We're getting on. So they came back over. Both Tani and I got in their business class.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the kids were in the back. So we were on a Airbus 320, one of the new ones. 220. Oh, dang it. 220. Edit that so I sound smart. A 220.
Your first time on a 220.
Yeah. It's a...
Did you go to the back?
A two and three configuration. No, because I was up in business.
Okay.
So I didn't. But it was funny because the kids were pretty bummed that we were in business. Like, I think they thought business was going to be like lay flat pod kind of situation. So they were like, oh, of course you guys got business. And then they get on and I hear someone go, this is their business? Because it looks like...
It's like a 30-minute flight from Paris to London. It's just over the water right now. Like, it's not a...
It is. But so they don't have like the bigger seats like we have.
Yeah, yeah. It's
they
still...
They just block out a middle seat or the seat next to them.
So were you on the side of the three or the two?
I was on the side of the three. Tani was on the side of the two.
So did she have her own?
So she had like her own side. Yeah. So she was in the very front and then I was back in row six. So it is a little bizarre that you feel like you're in like a regular main cabin seat.
Yeah, that's...
But it's the business. I kind of dozed off for a second. When I woke up, they were serving a meal.
Like wow. A 30
meal. Yeah. And so I kind of looked up. I just actually more wanted a drink. But the guy was like, do you want your food? And I was like, yes, I'll take
it.
Yeah, that's what I kind of wanted to experience it.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I wanted to steal everything. Like I was like, they gave me a glass.
Oh, just like me.
And it kind of looked like ours, but instead it just had like one kind of stripe on it, kind of diagonal.
The Air France logo.
Yeah, Air France logo on it. And I kind of, it was so tiny. I was like, I could put this in my pocket so easy.
He's like, where's the glass at?
And then, but it is funny. So
the dishware say Air France?
Their silverware had it. I wanted to pocket that as well. I wanted to pocket everything from their flight.
AvGeek.
And I was like, this stuff is so cute. Tiny little flight. They did a meal up there, landed, and then we went over. We had a hotel for just a few hours there, but it was nice. We got to stretch out,
relax,
be in a nice warm place. And then
shower.
No one even showered.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I'm glad that they didn't put the British Airways people on. I don't know their code shares and what, because if they canceled the flight, that would have had people or what they would have done with those people. Cause
well, my thought is it feels like it was early enough that they could have.
They canceled it. Yeah.
That it's not like, yeah, it's like, it's the last minute trying to change over. It was like, no, day to do it.
I was told the next morning, the British Airways had was 90% full. So there was some seats the next
there
morning.
There was still possibly some. That was a new airline for me to fly on as well.
I was jealous.
Was that one? Cool.
Me too.
I had told the kids about the bathroom in the back and the window and that exciting thing.
No one checked it.
No one did. Even Hayden, who goes to the bathroom all the time, didn't. She slept through the whole flight, didn't do it. Because I told her, I said, Hayden, you're going to need to take a picture in there. So even in the back, they got, I guess, a cheese sandwich and a drink.
Yeah.
Man.
Because I was kind of bragging about our meal up front. And Ellie Jo was like, we got something too. And I was like, oh, cool. So next morning, we were supposed to be like super golden on our flight because I was like, we're gonna take that first one.
Keyword is supposed.
Yeah, because it had four in first, 17 in business. And so we were already set.
That sounds like, because that was the same one that Katie and I took. The first one in Dallas. And it had like 17 open in business. So it's like,
well, okay. That's what I was like. Cause how many other throughs are going to be there? Like you can't really connect into it.
Yeah. It's so early.
Yeah. So I was like, but what I told the kids, I said, give me your Air France boarding passes though. Cause I said, just to make sure, I was like, it'll make me sit like more comfortable if I know we have the through on there.
Yeah.
And then in the morning we start to see, I pulled up and there's still, I think the four in first, but then there's very limited in business at this point.
It went down to like,
it went down. 11, it went down enough that I didn't think our whole family was getting on the flight because we were sitting in. We went to the number one lounge, which we didn't get to in last time. Get to go last time because it was so full. Yeah, we were sitting in there, and I had checked two bags under me, thinking, okay, if they check them under me, and I have to sit in the back, that's just fine. Like put them under me to going. Oh crap, did I just put them on there and I'm the only one who's getting home and now my family's going to be stranded because if anyone has to go, I have to go on it. So I was so stressed thinking I'm going to be leaving them. We're looking at, okay, so if they do have to take the Chicago that got super delayed, what does that look like for them? And Zaki's like, I had a good feeling about this flight yesterday. I have a good feeling about it now. So we'd already been like talking about who's drawing straws, who's going in the back, who's staying.
Yeah, because that flight, I think that there was a delayed Chicago and it messed everything up.
Yeah.
And so I remember I'd worked like 17 hours and I was like heading home and you were at the airport in London and I was just like watching it like,
yeah,
because it looked good and there was so many unassigned seats and I was just like, why aren't they assigning you? Why are they assigning you? So,
well, and that's it. Luckily by putting us the through status on, it put us towards the top, but then a couple had bumped us.
They disappeared. I still don't understand what happened to them.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to them either.
But, I think they got rolled. They never wanted that flight in the first place. They wanted to get that check-in time. Not get first and then get rolled to the one they wanted. That's my guess.
Interesting. Because there were employees that kind of like get when the upgrades first.
Shelly and Valley were here and their friends that.
Yeah.
Oh,
did that and then rolled the Phoenix. I think that's what they did. But like, why? You could have lay flat seats. Wherever you're going is going to be full. Like,
yeah.
Unless they were like, roll me till tomorrow, which.
Well, that's the thing is in the rest of the day going out of London was, yeah, completely for oversold besides that delayed Chicago, which wasn't leaving till like 9 p.m. now. 10 p.m. So I was like, you're going to sit here for 12 hours?
You got good seats.
Got good seats. Yeah. So everyone actually got on in business.
Yeah.
Which I was like super relieved about.
I think 25 non-revs got seats. So everyone got on.
But like, I think, yeah, the through was clutch in getting us the good seats on that flight though. Donnie and I did talk about halfway through that we did the second day syndrome was real.
With the flight attendants or with you guys?
Oh, no, with the flight attendants.
Okay.
Oh, for sure. Because at one point I had asked for cranberry vodka and she didn't quite hear me right. And so she's like, you want what? And I was just like, a cran vodka. And she was like, okay. And then I said, if you have a little orange juice on your cart, I would love some of that as well. And she was like, to go in your drink or on the side? And I was like, well, I can just put it in the drink myself. And she goes, I can do that too.
Like, yeah, second day syndrome.
Yeah, I was like, okay, thanks.
Would this crew have been flying on Christmas Day? Like, were they already upset because they had, or was it, would that have been like the day after they would probably would have left?
I see, because that would have been coming back the 27th. So
they left probably.
They probably had to leave on Christmas Day. The 25th. Day, they probably Christmas were day. Like, the whole trip was kind of like a, yeah.
Hey, they got an extra sick day out of that or a point or whatever.
They got a point. They got a good doobie point.
Yeah, a good point. Yeah.
Pay too, because we got incentive. We have incentive pay. So they probably got that too.
But also that's what I was like, I don't feel like I'm asking for that much. Like no. They were just, and we did give them chocolates.
And they were still stinky.
They were still, that's it. It is funny. Like the difference in, so that's in the Air France guys, when they gave us the business, I was like, babe, we need to go buy chocolate. We need to go buy them something. So we ran over to duty free, got a chocolate and we handed it to him. He was so nice about it. He was like, thank you so much for this. But yeah, and then the difference of she was nice when we handed to her, and then like the rest of the time I had to go ask for more drinks for like.
Cause, yeah, no, you should never have to ask for more drinks.
So it was just, I was like, I definitely think it's second day syndrome.
And today we were talking about how we all had second day syndrome coming back from London today.
But yes, so we made it all home. We had a great time. It was a bucket list, I think, for all of us for sure.
Cool.
That little moment with Zach.
Oh, it's super sweet. Yeah. It's like, that's one that it's like one of those, what do they call them? Like key moments, or like, you know what I mean? Those moments that you always kind of remember.
Yeah. When you die, that moment's going to cycle through your head.
Yeah. It was sweet.
So I kind of talked about a couple of years ago when Katie, myself, and our son Jake, we did Germany, and how much it would have cost for those flights. Mm-hmm. You should add up because you had five.
So both of our overseas flights were about 12,000. We already priced those out per person.
Sometimes five. And then you did the San Francisco to, it was probably another
those ones
3,000
were,
each. Woot, woot. Maybe a little lower because it was like.
No, yeah. San Francisco, JFK, those were only pricing out at about 1,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Probably because there were so many seats open. They were going to drop it down. Yeah. Usually that's like a $25,000 to $3,000 seat.
Yeah.
Whether the business people are flying. So, well, nice.
Yeah. It would be interesting to do the math. Oh, so that's as we were driving in, the kids were pricing out how much our flight over the water was going to be. And that's what they came up with, like the 12,000. And I said, Merry Christmas, kids. So.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So Melissa, our friend Melissa, she was on the show a couple times with us.
From Austin.
Yeah. So her and her husband went to Bali over the same kind of Christmas time. And they went to Honolulu first and saw friends. And so they had to get to Bali. So they took a weird route. And they're going to Tokyo. I think I posted something on Instagram. And she wasn't using Staff Traveler to get loads. She was looking at the smiley faces. And it was showing a red smiley face on ANA, which is the 380.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I was looking at those possibilities are coming back options. Yeah.
And Ashley, remember she said that one's always open.
Yeah.
But Jal was showing the green face. So what I said, well, but just get the loads.
Yeah.
And I got him and Jal was like 8 seats open and the 380 was like 250, which was red. It was like so backwards.
Yeah.
And so I said, and there was like 15 in business class. And so I said, take candy.
Yeah.
Like, you never know. Like, just take it. And on the ANA, the 380, which was like the turtle. Have you seen those? The
380s?
ANA has a couple of 380s. They fly just Honolulu to Tokyo. And the livery is like a big giant turtle.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So I was super jealous. Not only 380, but special livery.
The turtle.
And so she took it. And she said, her husband, Jay, said, if we don't get business, I'm never going to trust Tyler again or something. And they didn't, but I guess they probably took care of them. And then they had to connect on to Jal going to somewhere else. Where'd they go? Taipei and then Taipei to. They think three Zs from Honolulu to Valley. On the second one, on Jal, they gave him candy and they gave it back to him and said, no.
Oh,
and wow. She said it was so kinda weird.
Like kind of an awkward situation. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I wonder if it's because they couldn't do anything, give you back anything. At first I thought maybe culture, but I was like, no, ANA, that's the same culture. They're both Japanese. Like,
okay.
So it's
Japanese
like,
are really big into gift giving.
So I was wondering if they didn't have anything to give. They couldn't upgrade seats. So they just said, no. Or maybe it's an airline policy not to accept anything.
It could be that.
It could be, yeah.
But then on Air China from Taipei to Bali, she said they loved the treats and they were so happy. Yeah. So it was interesting to see the differences and how the crews responded to getting gifts. But I still say I've never had a bad experience. I mean, our one friends that gave donuts. But I've never, they may not be able to upgrade you. They may not give you like a lay flat seat, but it's usually always a they do something.
Yeah.
Even if it's just treat you a little bit better. They can't give you extra, but they'll just.
Well, that's what I think that, like I said, the crew took care of my family really well going over to Paris, like gave them that bag of the shooters and stuff. And I even walked back and Allie Jo had these little like chocolates on her plate. And I was like, what is that? And she goes, she gave us back some of our chocolates.
So, that's fun.
Yeah. I think she was just trying to share like in that moment like that.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I'm glad you did that. That's
me
fun.
Me too.
Yeah.
It was a fabulous vacation.
It was a good Christmas.
Yeah. The flights were a lot of drama, but they all worked out.
They did. At one point, Tony was like, why does this always happen to us? And I was like, I don't know.
Another thing, it is impressive, and maybe if we said only people in Ireland, you flew four D1 flights because those four segments aren't our vacation passes, the D1s. And every single one was a D1 through. Every single one of yours, right? Because no, you added the Southwest.
We used two D1s. Each of us had D1s. So we used D1s going and coming back.
They would have counted the same one.
I did think that later. I was like, we could have technically used.
It would have just been one.
Yeah.
If you look in your bank, you probably still have one left because they would have went like, oh no, since you didn't do the things.
Oh really?
Yeah. It still should count as one because you didn't start in Phoenix and end there.
Yeah.
So you would have been four D1 throughs.
Yeah. That's
and three of them
great
were late,
planning on our part.
Three of them were late flats. You had to pay for Zed fares to get.
We did there. On yeah. those, but it was worth it because it helped us get what yeah. we wanted in when we wanted to.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. This is long, but we'll trim it out a little bit. Glad you got to share that. And we're excited for this year.
Yeah.
2024.
Your drama. This is on our own side note, but do we want to talk about Laura and I's things we've done this year or our goals? Because we chatted about yours, but not ours.
Yeah. What are yours?
No, I said, do you want on this one? Do you want on another
was,
one?
Well, we didn't want to tell my goals. I was just kind of like the things I was kind of closing out last year.
I don't have stats like that.
Okay. Let's not cut this out.
I don't. Well, as we end, I don't know who had the better year thinking about, because I had a good year. I'm happy for mine. You went to Europe twice, even though it was all in 1 month. You did two huge trips.
Like, I did.
We had big trips. We had
big trips. Yeah. And I had a lot of flying. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you got to be on reserve a couple times.
Oh, man. Which is always an adventure.
The big R.
Yeah.
Did you see what my son said?
Yeah.
He said the O word.
The O word?
Yeah. He's learning swear words. He's in kindergarten.
What's the O word?
I don't know. That's what Katie's like. What do you know what?
Well, I can think of a few O words, but.
I was thinking everything comes after it, like, oh.
Oh, I got you.
But the O is not the swear word.
If you want to get a hold of us, it's nonrevloungepodcast@gmail.com. Everyone, hey, stay safe.
Bye.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. This episode was sponsored by Staff Traveler, which is the number one app to get your non-rev loads. It is used by over 700,000 people from all airlines the world over and built to make your non-rev trips easy and stress-free. Sign up now for free at stafftraveler.com/non-rev lounge.
They came around and offered champagne going.
Uh-huh.
And when we got on and Hayden took it.
Okay.
She didn't know if she was supposed to finish it before we took off or anyway, so she heard and tried to chug it. So she was like, I'm feeling tipsy. And then she was like, she goes, if they come around and ask for another drink, can I get another one? And I was like, girl, you have 10 hours.
Can you hold for just a second? Yeah. What is that weird sound?
Dave's got gas.
Serious? Do you hear that sound?
It's a popping thing, is it?
Is it water somewhere?
So a random guy kissing you on the mouth does bug you, but... I was worried about leaving that in.
Point.
And at our next meetup, having some weird listener
try to kiss her,
feel like it's okay. That was my only worry.
Point taken. That sound did bug me. I'm good now.
Okay. Thank
it's
you
gone
for
now. Yeah.
Thank you
for caring about the audio.
Well,
when you wrote me today and you said drive safe, I wondered, are you saying that as a friend or just you don't have to edit the podcast if I die?
Both. In that order, as a friend first.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. If we have to divert and we get stuck somewhere else.
Dublin.
Now, how do we get over to Paris? Like, because then the crew's going to time out. Like, I was like, there's so many things that go into factor of.
So many moving pieces.
Well, and I was also going like, and internationally, you don't have clearance to go into another country, right? Like, we haven't told Ireland. Here's everyone that's coming in. So I was like, I don't know how all that worked.
But then you would be stuck there.
Forever.
No, but wouldn't that be fun though? Say, okay, we went to Paris, but instead we went to Dublin.
So my position right now, what I'm doing right now, this bit is I relieve bagger people. So for my 5 hour shift, I have a half hour break to start. And then I work for 4 hours. I cover, give them lunches, a lunch to the next pier, lunch to the next pier. And then like a driver. So either way, like, and so usually when I show up, they kind of know what their block is going to be, their hour break for lunch. And this guy was working and I get there and because the bags come down these piers and they're completely full of bags.
He just left them for you.
And he goes, I go, your lunch is in like 3 minutes, thinking he'd like hurry and clean them off. And so then he kind of sits there for a minute and then he goes like, what time is it? And I was like, is it now? And I was like, yeah, but like, he's like, okay. He just left.
No way.
What a dick.
And I was like, what are you? So I'm very lazy when you say that. But also, I'm not going to screw someone else. If someone else will be lazy, I'll be lazy right with them. Like, I'm not going to go and kill myself if someone else is being.
You're not going to do your job and somebody else's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just so.
There was one night I was working downstairs and there was someone that was super, I told you, he was super lazy. And I was like, I'm going to match it. So I just, we kind of looked at each other like, are you going to take it? He didn't do anything. So I just said, like, I'm not doing it. You're not going to. But if I'm working with someone's like killing themselves, I'll be right with them.
Yeah.
So, because I don't want to be the one to look at like the guy's not doing anything, like, which is kind of annoying because I'm like, stop working so hard. Like, we have to work that hard. Like, yeah.
So he, I said to him, I said, okay, guys, I said, they go, we'll see you next week, Laura. And I go, no, you won't. I'm on reserve. I'll see you in February.
Aww.
And they go, and one of them said, I heard you were on reserve. So I figured you told them.
Maybe.
Yeah. They go, how'd they hear that? I said, probably Monique.
She's on reserve.
She's like, no.
I've been telling everyone too. So it could be me.
Even today, Tani was like, oh,
in the club today. Laura's, I was just like, Laura's. Yeah, yeah.
In the club. Just so you know, Laura.
In Dallas.
She's on reserve. Although some of these people I was fine with really were pissing me off. And I thought, well, I'm glad I'm going to have a month off.
Oh, from London.
Yeah.